Good morning. I hope everybody had a good week. I had a great weekend. I got to hug grandbabies. My baby grandson is 7. I don't know how that happened. It's going to be worse in December when my little baby granddaughter's 18, but she's not the baby, but still, it's just not right. They're not supposed to grow up that fast. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I should have put the scripture up there because I would want you to think, where does it say that? It says it in Nehemiah. I thought, that's in a psalm. I knew I read it. I knew it was in there. It's not in the Psalms. It's not in Proverbs. It's not in the letters. It's in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And he says that after they're crying. There's times you just want to cry. You think, I pour my heart out. I invest hours in my day. Does it do any good? And then you realize the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's get into Nehemiah and see if we can find out. If you're looking for Nehemiah, it's those little books right before Job and Psalms. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Even though it's after Esther, chronologically it's after Esther. In your Bible, it's before Esther. We're going to start with Nehemiah 8, verse 8. He says, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Okay, they built a big wooden pulpit. They all stood up there. And like I told the kids this morning, they read all day long, all morning long. And the people stood up to hear the reading of the word because it's the word of God. You give God respect. And so, what have they been doing all morning? Verses 5 and 6. If you back up to verse 5 and 6, it says, Ezra opened the book and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And he opened it. As he opened it, the people all stood up. And Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Okay? They had stood up. If you go back to verse 3, he read it aloud from daybreak until noon. Daybreak, 6 in the morning until noon. So 6 hours, they're standing there listening to the word of God being read. My knees would get tired. My hips get tired. My back get tired. My feet get tired. They stood and read the word of God. Why? Because he's God. He spoke the worlds into existence. He forgave you of your sin. He's God. Just stand in awe of him as his word's being read, which is what they did. Now, how does anxiety turn to joy when we understand our responsibilities? Okay? These guys, they're hearing the word of God, and we're going to find out in the next verse, they're crying because they understand their responsibilities, but he wants them to have joy. God didn't write his word to make you miserable. God didn't put all those rules in there to keep you from having fun. He put that stuff in there so you could have real joy. The world can't give you joy. Alcohol can't give you joy. Drugs can't give you joy. Sin can't give you joy. He wrote that stuff so that you can be the most joyous people on earth, and we're supposed to be. I'll get you to verse 9 and then I'll tell you. Okay, in verse 9. There's a tendency, when you read the Word of God, there's a tendency towards sadness. Oh man, we really messed up. Oh, we really screwed up. The Word of God says this, and we're not living that. Are you living the Word of God perfectly? My hand's down. Okay, I'm not living the Word of God perfectly. I mess up, I sin and fall short of the glory of God, just like the rest of us. Now, verse 9. He says, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, this day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the word of God. They go, oh man, we're messing up here. We're messing up there. We're messing up here. We got all these problems. What do we do? When you read the Word of God, you see how far short of it you are. What do you think? Man, I feel terrible because I'm not living the Word of God I ought to be living. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. When we realize how far we've fallen from God's Word, is it pretty easy to be sad? Yeah. Man, I'm not praying like that. I'm not living like that. I'm not preaching like that. I'm not loving my wife like that. I'm not loving my kids and grandkids like that. I need to be, man, there's so much I'm falling short in. I just, you know, walk around and just cry all the time. No, he says, that's not why he wrote it. Okay? How will a better understanding of God's love and God's grace help us have joy? He says, guys, quit crying. Have joy. Okay? We just had a communion feast on a Sunday. We didn't have it on Friday night when he died. We had it on Sunday morning when he was raised. It's a celebration. It's not a funeral service. The tomb's empty. We're going home. Act like it. Okay? He's going to come back. What's going to happen? We're all going to rise up and meet the Lord in the air. It's going to be amazing. Okay? Oh, man, life's pretty tough. You're not going to... You're going to heaven. You have your sins washed away. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Act like it. Don't walk around like you've been weaned on a sour pickle. Now, when we've heard God's word, he wants us to display joy. Look at verse 10. He says, Nehemiah said, go, enjoy choice foods and sweet drinks. Send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you're mourning and weeping and upset, how much you get done during the day? Oh man, life's pretty tough. You know, I can't do that. You know. What do you do? I just sat in my recliner all day and went out the garden, ate worms. Sorry, it's an old, if you're not old, you don't catch that. Okay, I had a really tough day. You know, I did, all you get done. I was just sad. I couldn't get anything done. When you're sad, you can't get anything done, guys. Joy. You have joy in the Lord. Do you have a message of salvation that has saved you from sin? Do you have a Savior whose blood and sacrifice saved you from death? Or is he coming back to take you home? Has he entrusted you with carrying the most precious message that's ever been carried on earth? Okay? Rejoice. Act like it. When you have joy, you have strength. When you don't have joy, you ain't got much strength. Okay? He says, I want you to rejoice in the Lord. Now, how should you feel if you've been given insight into life by the Maker of all things? Think about it. Oh, wow. Okay? I was having one of those times. You know, a wise man once said, sermons are like baths. They're very necessary, but they don't last long. Okay? And sometimes I think, I preach my heart out, and nothing happens. Okay? I've given over 40 years to ministry, and I think, what's happened? And then I got to talk to a fella, and I saw what God's doing in his marriage and with his wife and with his kids and with his ministry. And he started sharing all this stuff and the Bible classes he's teaching and the stuff he's doing. And I thought it did. He says, oh yeah, when I do this, I always quote you when you said this to us. And I always quote this when you did this to me. And I thought, wow, it did. It took, you know, something I did helped somebody. That's what life's about. If you're not blessing somebody, you're wasting your time. God sent you here to bless the person you're with. And if you're not doing it because you want to take care of you, the me generation will get you in trouble. Guys, Jesus came to save us from selfishness. And when he did, the life he saved us to is way better. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 4. Okay? You rejoice in the Lord. You got your sins forgiven. Act like it. Okay? We're not supposed to walk around like the Puritans and, you know. That's not the way you go through life. They had the wrong idea of Christianity. It's joy. Okay? These three abide: faith, hope, and love. Greatest of these is love. But hope, if you've got hope, you know Jesus is coming back, then the joy happens. In that little four-page book of Philippians, Paul 16 times tells them to rejoice and have joy. And he does it while he's chained up. Rejoice, and the Lord always, again, I say rejoice. He's chained up. He's in chains telling people to have joy. If you were chained up, would you be telling people to have joy? Would you be telling them how much joy you have? He is. Why? How? Because life is mostly spiritual and eternal. And life is mostly spiritual and eternal, and you got your sins forgiven, and you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he's taking you home to heaven, you got reason to have joy. In your bulletin article, I don't know if you read it. A lot of people, instead of listening to the sermon, they read the bulletin article. Okay? But in the bulletin article, I told you about my brother-in-law, Emerson. He went in the hospital this week, about died. His feet were all swelled up, couldn't even put shoes on. He was all puffed up. He's got C. diff. It's an industrial strength colitis. It's an infection of your colon, and it's bad. And he just bad, okay? And that on top of his cancer he's got and all the problems, you know, he was really having a hard time. And then they couldn't do certain treatments because of his C. diff. They couldn't do other treatments because of his cancer. And he's like in this big problem. And he's known he's had these problems for a while. And so he's talking to his family. He's got family that's not in Christ. He's got family that's not close to God. So he called. Last time he went down to West Virginia, he went down and talked to his family. And he's got a brother has just, you need to get right with God. You need to become Christian. You know, anyway, Wednesday night, when he was really bad, he says, I got to talk to my family. So he went to call his brother up, and his brother didn't answer the phone. His sister-in-law didn't answer the phone. He called again. Still, nobody answered it. Finally, after 9 o'clock at night, he gets a phone call from his sister-in-law. He says, where were you? He says, we were at church. He says, you could have knocked me over with a feather. And then he said, oh, Monday, James was baptized. His brother's baptized Christ. He says, that's the best news I ever got in my life. Here he is, maybe approaching the end of his life physically. And the best news he got was his brother's born in Christ. Now, what I didn't get to tell you in a bulletin article, because it hadn't happened yet, on Friday he got out of the hospital. He's doing better. He is physically doing better because he has joy. The joy of the Lord is his strength. Okay? That's real. That's real in your life. That's real in my life. That's real in your marriage. That's real in parenting your kids. We've got joy in our lives. And if we don't have joy in our lives, we're not going to get anything done. There's a reason why the Bible says do all things without arguing and complaining, because they don't even smell like joy. Okay? Don't complain. You and I think of your complaints, you don't want to hear it. Okay? Don't complain. Bible says don't complain. Don't complain. Have joy. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. The joy of the Lord is your strength. How do you know? I just read it. Okay. If your life is led and blessed by the Maker of all things, and he has given you insight in how to live, and David says, I have meditated on your word, and it's made me wiser than all my teachers. If you know that, you got joy.
Guys, he's on our side. He's coming back. We win. Now, how will a better understanding of God's word help us develop a lasting joy? I told the kids up front, I used to get a bunch of love letters from my wife. Now we just send cards to each other for Mother's Day and Father's Day and birthdays and stuff, you know. But we send all these little love notes to each other all the time. And so I got like letters. I got stacks of letters that we sent. I've got her stack that she sent me, and she's got my stack I sent her. Okay? We love each other. When I got those love letters, I said, oh man, another letter. I wonder what she's going to tell me where I'm messing up. I didn't think that. That's not the way you read the Word of God either. The one who wrote you this letter here, the Bible, he let his son die for you. He loves you. He adores you. And so when you're reading this, you don't read this and say, oh man, I really messed up. Because these guys stood, heard the Word of God being spoken to them for 6 hours. And then they go, oh man, we really messed up. We really fell short. And Ezra says, stop it. Nehemiah says, stop it. You don't do that. Guys, he loves you. He adores you. He's the Son of God. Have joy. How do you go through your life? The people around, they like hanging around with you because you're the light of the world? You are the light of the world, right? I know I read that in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. And you light up the world. You're supposed, wherever we go, we're supposed to light up. You know people, you hang around, it just lights up your day. We're supposed to be some of those people. Because when we have joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's go on. Verse 11 and 12. The people understood God's word when they lived in joy. Did you catch that? When you live in joy, you understand things about God's word you don't understand when you're not living in joy. Look at verse 11 and 12. He says, the Levites calmed all the people. They'd been crying, remember? The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink and send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. When they finally had joy, then they finally understood the words. If you read the Word of God and it give you joy, you're not reading it right. Okay? If you read it, oh man, we messed up here and we messed up there, and boy, we got to get there. Oh, we got. Because then how do you go out? Hey, you want to be a Christian? Man, it's really tough. You know? No! What kind of message do you share with others? The gospel is called the good news. Okay? It's not like, oh man, if you don't straighten up, God's going to nail you. No, that's not the message. If you have the joy of the Lord, you understand the message. They didn't understand the message until they had the joy of the Lord. And we don't either. I need to read the Word of God in a way that I have joy. Now, joy, does that mean all my bills are paid and I got, you know, I'm healthy and I don't have my knees quit hurting? Am I, does that? No. You still have problems, but you have joy in the midst of problems. I know that because he was writing for us to have joy when he was chained up. You rejoice in the Lord, whatever the problems you have. And so they had joy. Now, what's wrong with our understanding when we don't live in joy? Well, I got it all figured out. If I do this and do this and this, maybe I can get into heaven by the skin of my teeth if I die with a prayer on my lips. Skin and teeth got nothing to do with it. He has boldly entered in a way. He has opened up the curtain to the holy place. By his resurrected life, he has made a way in for all of us. You don't have to maybe, man, I hope I get in by the skin of my teeth. No. We boldly come to the throne of his grace. There is joy inexpressible and full of glory. We will never accomplish what God wants accomplished in Circleville without joy. Okay? Kids like to have joy.
And if you're telling kids everything they're doing wrong, you're keeping them from having joy. Quit it. Yeah, well, I want them to behave in a certain way. I understand that. You want these kids to have joy. We want to do whatever we can to bless children, to have joy. And when we got all these other things going, we've missed up the point. You want joy? Hang around kids. Hang around kids with the right attitude if you want joy. And they will teach you things. Amazing things. We need to learn from it. In fact, Paul, what did Jesus say in Matthew 18? Unless we grown-ups become like little children and humble ourselves and become like children, we can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. We need to have joy and bless these children and help them have joy. Now, how does the practice of joy help us more completely understand God's will? As you're doing it, as you're blessing people, as you're showing hospitality, as you're sharing the good news with others, as they see a joy in you that they want, what happens? That's God's plan. God's plan is for His joy in us to become contagious to the people around us. And if we're not doing it, we're missing it. And nothing's happening because the sorrow of the Lord isn't our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So, well, Jack, you know what kind of problems I got. No, I don't. You know what kind of problems I got. Okay, we each just have our own set. And if we took all of our problems and we put them in a big pile, and then we had to go back and pick the problems, we'd all pick our own. Because I don't want yours and you don't want mine. Okay? Everybody's got their own set. I'm used to mine. You're used to yours. But I got joy and you do. And that takes precedence, and hopefully we understand more of the joy than we do the sorrow. Rejoice in the Lord always. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So, Jack, that's in the Old Testament. I want to see something in the New Testament. Okay, let's go to Colossians. Colossians. You got all those little bitty letters after Romans and Corinthians before you get to the T's. All the T's are together in your New Testament. And so if you get up to T's, you went too far. So right before that, the last one before the T's is Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, here's how you pray. You want to learn to pray? Pray like Paul prays in Colossians 1. Okay? We are to pray for the joyous life that comes from understanding God's Word. The joyous life doesn't come if you're not understanding God's Word. And you're not understanding God's Word without the joyous life. They have to go together. Verse 9 through 12. Here's how he prays. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, asking God to keep your dog from getting sick and to make sure you don't lose your job and make sure... Oh, no, it doesn't say that. We have not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit for every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints for the kingdom of light. What he's saying there about praying for Uncle Harry's hip bone? He didn't say anything about that. Now, I'm not saying you're not supposed to pray for Uncle Harry's hip bone, or not to pray for Emerson or Wally or Janet or any of them, because we want to. But we want to pray not just for them to be healed. We want to pray for their joy and for ours and for the spread of the gospel so that others will have that joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And he says, I want you to understand it so you can joyfully give thanks. Why? Because the joy of the Lord's our strength. I want you to have, and the number one request in prayers in your New Testament is for spiritual understanding, insight. Okay, I want you to have that godly wisdom so that you'll have joy, so that you can joyfully thank God.
That's why you're supposed to have it. Because you live better when you're joyfully thanking God than you do when you're complaining. How's it work with your wife and your husband? Do you do better when you're complimenting and thanking them, or does it work better when you're complaining? Well, try that with God. Okay? Do it with God. It works way better. Do it with anybody. You rejoice, you don't complain. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I want you to understand it so that you can joyfully praise and thank God. What that means is, I was talking to a fellow yesterday who's leading singing for his church this morning, and I said, you realize the praising of God is so important because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And guys, when we sing, you don't just let Brian stand up here and sing. You sing, and by the way, today, good singing. Okay? It's so good that Butch couldn't even say anything at the table because it was oh wow. And that's good. And Butch, I appreciate your remarks at the table because it was oh wow. Okay? It's supposed to be that way. You live in joy to God. Okay? And when you sing, sing praises like it's joy to God. You don't sing praises like, oh man, oh, oh. No, it's not that. Okay? Sorry. Now, how will our prayers for understanding God's will help us be strengthened by joy? Because the more I figure out of this book, the more I realize how awesome it is in Christ. Right? And if you're not reading this book understanding that it's more awesome in Christ, you're not reading it right. Understanding it helps you have joy. Now, how urgently are we praying for inspiration to lead us to joyous strength? I pray that you're enlightened, that you understand, that you have the insight that you need so that you can joyfully thank God. Whew. Wow. Let's try that this week. Let's pray for God to give us the insight we need from His Word so that we can joyfully thank God. Guys, can you joyfully, Jack, you don't know how short my money is, you don't know how bad my car's running, you don't know how bad, my knees are feeling, you don't know how, you just don't know, you don't understand. No, I don't. Do you have your sins forgiven? Do you have the gift of the Holy Spirit? Do you have brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you going home to heaven? Do you have a message of salvation that can bless the lives of thousands? Are we a supporting congregation for a ministry in Africa that is blessing hundreds of thousands and teaching thousands every Sunday morning in over 17 congregations in Africa right now, this morning, today? Only it's afternoon over there, but it was morning this morning. Okay. We have significance, and it should bring us joy. The message this morning is to pray, to live, and to share in such a way that we display the joy of Christ. That's it. It's not my joy, it's His joy. His joy is better than mine. His love's better than mine. All the fruit of the Spirit is better than mine. So you display His joy. Now, how will you allow God's Word to help you have His joy this week? I will bite my tongue when I am tempted to complain. And hopefully by Friday I won't need a Band-Aid on it. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. What can you do to turn your sorrow into joy? Focus. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. How will His joy strengthen you to service? Well, I put in my time. I don't need to be teaching Bible class. I don't need to be bringing my neighbors in. I don't need to be. You can retire from your job. You don't retire from Christianity. I want to be serving God until they put me in a box. Okay? Serve Him. He died for my sins. I will never, ever be able to pay Him back. And I can't. And that's not why I do it.
I do it because I love him. Now, what can you do this week to let God's word give you his joy? Some of you have to start like this. Don't do that. Have a Bible that you've got all worn out and you know what side of the page all this stuff's on, and that doesn't happen all at once. I had a teacher in school, Ted Kell. He had the whole New Testament and most of the Old memorized. Probably over a third of the New Testament in two or three different translations. Somebody said, Ted, I'd give 20 years of my life to be able to quote Scripture like he said. That's about what it takes. Okay? I'm not expecting you to know the Word of God. I'm expecting me to know the Word of God until we put some hours of study into this thing. But I want us to know it, and not just know it so we can be right, not know it so that we can feel bad about where we messed up. I want us to know it so the joy of the Lord can be our strength, so that we can go out and share a message worth sharing. You don't go out and share, oh man, boy, if you don't straighten up, God's going to squish you like a great wrong message. Okay? He came to die for our sins. He was raised Sunday. He's coming back. We want to follow him. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. What are you going to do this week to let the joy of the Lord be your strength? You're going to have to get in this book. But then you're going to let this book get in you. You need to study the Scriptures, but mostly you need the Scriptures to study you and change you and make you what he wants you to be. One man who never went to college, never led an army, never held a political office, changed the world, and he lets us follow him. Let's let his joy be our strength. How can we help you? If you're not yet in Christ, we would love to talk to you about how amazing Jesus is so that you would be willing to make the biggest commitment of your life and follow him the rest of your life. If you have not yet made that choice, but you see it's worth making, make it. If you've made that choice and you have not been living in joy, I want you to think about the way you're approaching the Scriptures. They stood and heard the Word of God for 6 hours, and then they cried. And Ezra said, no. And Nehemiah said, no. And the priest said, no. I want you to have joy. It's the Word of God. That's the way I want you to see it. I want you to have joy in the Word of God, to follow His will, to do His will, to bless the people around you. If you've not yet made that decision to die and be born in Christ, please, today is a great time. If you've already made that decision and you need us to pray with you about something, we'll pray with you about that. Whatever your need is, please come while we stand and while we sing.